Welcome, everybody, to We Have Issues, Geek Elite Media show that's about everything literary, books, comic books, web comics, manga, and everything else you might be reading. We're here to talk about it. Thank you for joining us for this very special episode, and we're looking back on the year of 2021. A good year. Interesting okay. year.
Sure.
A better year than the previous year. Can we agree on that one? We were able to go outside, right?
I guess so, you're right.
Some of it. In certain states.
I can see mannequin pussy. You're right.
Yeah.
It's been a rough... It's March 749th, 2019 right now, and it's been rough.
It's been a long, long time, guys. But luckily for you all out there, we have issues to keep you company every week. And you get a bonus episode now. As I said, we're looking back at the year that was, as well as revealing the results of our annual Remy Awards. Now, what are the Remys? Well, the Remys are awards that we give at the end of the year for both our shows, We Have Issues and Jukebox Vertigo. And what does Remy stand for? It stands for Recognition of Excellence in Media's Multiple Industries, because Keith loves an acronym. And Remy LeBeau. And Remy the Rat from Ratatouille. Let's not disrespect. I am joined by a cast for the first time on We Have Issues. We have multiple people, not just me and Josue. Liz has been with us before, so first I'll start with Liz. Hey, Liz, our producer, Liz.
Sup, bitches?
Fans of Jukebox Vertigo have heard Liz recently. much to Josue's dismay. Liz, we got to get you back on the show.
I'm ready.
Yeah. And we're joined by what I would consider to be our unofficial third host, even though he's yet to make an actual appearance on We Have Issues. We constantly would love for him to be here. And that is Geek Elite Media's own Steven.
It's me. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, dude. I'm glad to have you. Like,
I speak for the people.
For those of you who don't know, Steven, whenever we do anything with Steven, we end up talking for like hours. one time we did talk for like 2 hours after a show, and we were like, I gotta go. Like, I have things to do. So it's always great, and I think me and Josue were talking about it the other day. We might have on Issues, actually, this week, where, Steven, we were talking about working with you and how it just feels effortless. There's no effort to having you here. It just flows so nicely, and that's just great. So I'm excited for you to be here for this. So
yeah, thank you.
And, of course, I'm joined by my stalwart sidekick, who is always at my side, Josue.
I've been so goddamn excited for the fucking Remys all month. You have no idea.
Yes, I love the Remys. Those who don't know, I love me an award show. I love the Oscars. Liz knows, she's watched them with me before. I sit and I'm like, and I get angry. I don't get angry in the way a lot of people get angry, but I do get angry in certain cases, like Boyhood losing to Birdman for some fucking reason.
You discredit Birdman for being a bad movie, which is not.
Birdman's a bad movie.
It's not. You're crazy.
And
I'm sorry. Let me just say that
Suicide
movie.
Suicide Squad winning an Oscar. Let me just throw that one before.
Okay, yeah, that was bullshit.
Okay, Birdman was so bad that I was so physically angry when that movie finished. I was almost in tears. I left the theater, and then I had to go back because I left my purse. Because I was that
this
mad.
This is also coming from the person who put in a fucking rock star on my fucking Jukebox Vertigo.
Okay,
so
look
keep also that in mind.
Look at the play count and the success of anything by Nickelback, and then compare that to
I'd
what you
do
nominated
anything
on the
anything else with my life. I will not
Anyways,
do that.
Birdman sucks.
I'm with Liz on this one. So on both of those arguments, Rockstar is a great song. If Rockstar had been anyone but Nickelback, people would have loved it. I'm just saying. Just saying. Anyways, enough about Jukebox Vertigo. This is my show. We are going to talk about the Remys, the comic book form of the Remys. I want to thank everybody out there for voting. I am overwhelmed. So peek behind the curtain. Last year we did the Remys. We were part of a different organization at the time. There wasn't a lot of promotion for the Remys. Not like I would have liked her to have been. And we actually did better than we thought we would. We did get right at 100 votes, which we're like, oh, that's amazing. Let me just explain. That got completely destroyed this year when we had, when we were in charge of our own promotion. Thank you. I was thinking recommendation. I'm like, what promotion? When we were in charge of our own promotion, we were able to push it and
pushed it real good.
We hit four digits in votes is what we'll say. So, yes. I'm insanely excited. I love that so many of the creators got involved.
Who were some of those creators? Because I feel like there were some big names that retweeted some things.
Just my hero, Neil Gaiman, was the first one, which blew my mind, by the way. The fun thing was a lot of the independent creators were the ones that got most involved. And that will be reflected when we talk about later on, because the most voted on category was best indie comic of all of them.
Yeah.
So, which is great for this show, you know? So I love that. And just a lot of people we have relationships with. Jed McKay got involved, you know, which we interviewed this year. That's a cool look back. But yeah, it's exciting. So we're going to reveal these, but we're also going to talk about the year that was. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go two awards. Then we're going to kind of have a little chat, two awards, a little chat, alternate back and forth. The first award is Best LGBTQ Plus Book. A award very dear to the heart of myself and Josue on our show. You know, I should have had last year's winners up. I didn't think about doing that.
Oh, nice.
Damn. Like, yeah. So, but yeah.
We do have the magic of editing if you want to.
And we're back through the magic of time travel. I was looking to see if we can find the Remy results, and I'm not able to. But, you know, I'll probably post a link on Twitter so you guys can check it out yourselves from last year. So, but let's get back into what we were talking about. First award, as I said, will go to Best LGBTQ Plus Book, and we do the top three on this show.
Nice.
So, in third place, one of my nominations, Destiny New York.
Hey.
Woo.
In second place,
really good,
a Marvel book, Guardians of the Galaxy.
Ah, nice.
The gayest book in comics. Except for probably our winner and a Josue nomination, Killer Queens from Dark Horse.
The one. Oh my god. Killer Queens 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, everything. So many adventures. Give me all the gay space. Give me Galeons, please.
Well, you didn't read Space Bandits?
Yeah, but I want now Killer Queens sequels.
It well deserved. Great book. Really enjoyed it. Josue, I know it was kind of controversial because we forgot to nominate Killer Queens and went back and we're like, oh shit, Killer Queens should have been on that list.
Because I was not going to nominate for a later book, but it's like, wait, it should have just been this one first.
So you happy with that? Is there something else you're pulling for?
I mean, now I don't. Before I say that, every book here is a fucking winner. We loved reading every single book from this category, every category that we're going to talk about. But goddamn, Killer Queens was just so well deserved. I love this one, especially because David Buer, and like we love Kanto, but that one's just like fantasy, but in a just everything is just not human, which is what I love about it. And this one, we actually get to have something gay representation, and goddamn it, and space.
Steven, I think you nominated Mamo, right?
Yeah, I love that book so much.
It was really good. I really enjoyed that book. So that also comes up later in another category too. So,
Save Yourself one of the nominees for this one? I forget.
No.
Interesting. Okay.
Save Yourself was really good.
Save Yourself had the unfortunate thing of being in Boom.
Gotcha.
And we'll talk about then Boom because Boom had way more nominations than any other category. So, all right. So next category, we did a couple custom categories for the year, and this was the year that me and Josue rediscovered DC Comics.
Yes.
Last year, the nominations for our best DC book were embarrassing.
Yeah.
Although the winner was not embarrassing because Kami Garcia's Beast Boy book was incredible, and it totally deserved the win last year. I remember that one. But DC started the year with a big crossover called Future State, where they jumped into the future and presented future versions of a lot of books, and it was fucking awesome. I took it upon myself to be a good comic journalist, and I bought every single one of them.
I bought the ones that called my attention.
Yeah, I bought like two issues, and they were both illustrated by Giannis Milano Giannis. That's it.
So we decided to make a whole category of just best Future State book.
Yes. It was so fun.
Top three. Future State Gotham was number third, which I believe Steven nominated.
That's the only one that I bought. So
that's the one that's still going. That's the ongoing. So
okay.
That's the only one still going. It's so it's really cool. Fun.
I love reading that one.
It's fucking great. It's black and white. It's like Akira style. Like it's so good. Mm-hmm. So second and first place, there are three votes separating them. In second place, I'm sorry, Josue.
Damn it.
Swamp Thing.
The Swamp Thing. The goddamn
Which
Swamp Thing.
Which was really good and had the lead for most of the month.
My God. Swamp Thing. Okay. Rob B just rewrote the anatomy body with the green, and it was beautiful. It was fucking beautiful.
But our winner, and I am fucking tickled pink with this one, Aquaman.
Oh, nice.
The introduction of an adult Jackson Hyde as Aquaman and Andy Curry as Aquawoman, not Aqualass, she'll fight you over that. Andy Curry was the most compelling Future State character for me. And I know there was a lot of internet Twitter or internet chatter about her. So, yeah, I think it's fully deserved. Hmm. Josue, it sounds like you're pretty much behind Swamp Thing then.
Oh, fuck yeah. What was my other one besides? I was behind Gotham.
Wonder Woman?
Well. Yeah.
You did Wonder Woman and Superman.
Oh, and the duo one? Yeah, those were fun, but the Swamp Thing for sure was the one I was for sure backing.
Yeah, definitely. Steven, you said you only got Gotham, of course.
Yeah.
Liz, I know you didn't really get a chance to read too much Future State. I think you looked at the Yara Floor a bit, the Wonder Woman book.
Yeah, no, that was cool. I did like the concept. Just the only DC comic I'm reading right now is Wayne Family Adventures, so. Because I don't want to be hurt again. DC.
When we get to DC, I should point out there should have been an additional nomination in the non-Bat book formula because I didn't ask Liz about DC and she would have nominated Far Sector.
Yeah.
That's a good book. It took long enough with the trade paperback.
Yeah, finally.
Yeah. It's almost like they don't want it to succeed for some reason. Anyways, so... All right, so let's look back at the year real quick before we move on. We had a couple MCU movies hit this year. We had Black Widow. We had Spider-Man Far From Home. We had Eternals. We had Shang-Chi. We had some great movies come out this year. I want to know, starting with Steven, MCU movie of the year.
Out of these ones, I guess I feel the most fondness towards Shang-Chi. But frankly, I've not enjoyed the Marvel stuff this year so much.
What about the TV shows?
The TV shows kind of fall into the same thing. I enjoy them, especially because it's a longer experience, so they get more time to delve into things. But a lot of the action stuff, which they still lean on to really hard, feels unmotivated.
Loki struck me as something you'd enjoy.
Oh, yeah, you didn't say this one.
Well, I was saying about the TV shows in general. I was just saying.
Yeah, so, Loki's my favorite out of the TV shows, far and away. I still think that also had some unmotivated stuff in it, especially plot wise. Like there were some things that just happened because someone wanted to do a thing, which shouldn't be bad, but it happened. I don't know. I've got a whole thing about Marvel stuff right now. Catch me on another podcast talking about that later.
Gotcha. Liz, I know you saw all four of these because I was with you.
Yeah.
What'd you think?
Spider-Man. No Way Home. That was...
Fuck yeah.
That was the best for me. Yep. But I noticed you didn't say Eternals and when you listed the...
I thought I did.
Oh, did you?
I said it right before Shang-Chi.
Eternals.
Oh, okay. My bad. I guess I just looked it up.
Oh, trust me. I said Eternals.
Yeah.
We're setting that up.
I did like... Eternals wasn't like a good film like a great film, I guess I should say. But I think it was a good one because it tried to, I felt like it was trying to do something different. And I like that because I like that Marvel this year. It feels like Marvel took a lot of creative risks. I think for Marvel.
Yeah.
So yeah, I did like that. But no, Spider-Man No Way Home, the fact that it was into the Spider-Verse, but with the Spider-Man movies, I really enjoyed that. And like I think we talked about how I enjoyed that it was a way to do like callbacks to the other films without, you know, making fun of them, I guess, or putting them down. It was like bringing all the good stuff for the films while still addressing stuff that maybe was like, you know, Electro and The Amazing Spider-Man 2, basically, as a whole. I feel like it really kind of...
There's been enough time we can like talk at this length, right, about No Way Home.
So here's the thing with No Way Home. I don't want to talk too much in depth because given recent events, which we're not going to talk about on this episode, we're probably going to have a special episode to talk about Spider-Man Far From Home.
Okay.
Or No Way Home, excuse me, as a group.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about that later on. So we can talk about it a bit, but don't get all your opinions out because I need those for the other episodes.
Yeah. But no, I definitely, and I disagree with Keith here. I think the ending was good. I liked the ending a lot, and I thought that one was the most.
You're like, I disagree with Keith before I gave my opinion. Yep. You're just like,
yep. We all know what your opinion is. It is a great ending.
That is why, I like that one the most. And Loki was my favorite.
MCU movie of the year.
While Spider-Man should have been my favorite, it's just Shang-Chi just held it. Cap First Avenger should have been, with like way more German in all of those German scenes. There was just way more Chinese in all the scenes, where I still think it should have been 15% more Chinese on certain scenes. It would have been, the payoff would have been so much sweeter to just hear it that way and just reading out the dialogue. But god damn it, the first scene with the mom and the dad doing their fight and their dance, I still get literally weepy emotional just being like, they're fucking doing it. They're doing something special here. And then when he does the same thing with Shang-Chi does the same thing with his aunt in that little training part, it's the same fucking thing. And it's like, there's just like, I'm not seeing the MCU. I'm just actually seeing a martial arts movie. And that's what gets to me. So I fucking love that one so much.
Yeah. What about shows? You haven't finished Hawkeye.
No, I haven't finished Hawkeye. Even with however it ends, I think I still, I'm going to say Captain, Falcon. It was just,
really over WandaVision.
WandaVision was fun. WandaVision was really cool with the ending. I fucking love the way she looks at the end, but god damn it. The way they use Adora Milaje when they show up on episode 4 and they have that whole fight scene in that room. Bro, and when he reaches for the shield and she just like pops it, oh motherfucker, that was, oh, it just gets me. I get so fucking pumped up for that scene. And when he gets stuck, oh, that whole thing is just game over. That whole part just was like the best part of all the shows for me.
Nice.
I think that's fair. I want to change mine to the one scene. That's my favorite.
Let's Daniel Brühl. As Zemo.
Antenna, bro. Oh, fuck yeah. That meme fucking went on forever. That dance, that whole dance part. Yes.
Yeah. So mine was, it's arguable between Eternals and Shang-Chi. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give the nod to Eternals because I feel like it had, first of all, it's visually beautiful. It's Chloe Zhao. Obviously, it's going to be a visually beautiful movie. I think it had a lot harder hill to climb. And I think it still got to the same level as Shang-Chi for me. And so the effort and the fact that they needed to introduce 10 characters and all this, and I think they did it as well as you could. So also I have an affinity for the Eternals that most people don't have because most people haven't read the comics, you know? So I think the Eternals is the best for me. As far as TV shows go,
Keith, before you move on from the Eternals, I don't get on Twitter a lot, but you retweeted a thing that I think perfectly takes that movie down a peg. Whoa. Do you remember this tweet of yours?
I don't remember what you're referring to.
I'm trying to find it, but they basically said that Eternals was this one other movie, but done better.
Is it Justice League?
I'm trying to find it, but you tweet a lot of, was it?
Was it Justice
League? I think it's Justice League. Yeah, Eternals is Justice League, but done better, I think is.
No, it was another one. It was a different one.
I remember saying, that Icarus was like the best iteration of Superman.
Yes.
He's the best live action Superman we've ever seen.
It was a jokey tweet. Damn.
Well, while you pull it up,
so many pictures.
While you pull it up, I will throw out there that my favorite show, I think, is Hawkeye, actually.
Ooh, nice.
I have a big affinity for the Matt Fraction comic it's based off of. I love Kate Bishop, and Haley Steinfeld is a lovely person, and and just the casting and everything. So yeah, what'd you find, Steve?
So the tweet, it wasn't a retweet. It was the one that you liked. It said, "My friend just said Encanto is just the Inhumans, but better." And yeah, we don't talk
the
about
Inhumans,
Bruno,
not the Internals.
Yeah, two different teams. Oh my god, fake
damn it!
I actually think this still applies.
Yeah. No.
I think that's why my brain auto-filled this thing.
So actually,
there's that one whole character, they're like, no, this character is bad. That guy's Bruno.
Humans are a family. Yeah. Eternals are androids.
I will say about the Eternals movie, I think that movie definitely had my favorite bits out of all the movies, which was the MCU world building. Having that celestial as an iceberg, like, bro, the Avengers are going to be camping there in like two phases from now.
And for those who don't know the comics, Avengers Mountain is inside of Eternal's head, basically, like later on.
Celestial,
right? Yeah. Or Celestial. No,
yeah.
Eternal, yeah.
So,
no, it's cool.
So there's really good world building in that one.
I do like that. I do agree with that tweet, though, about the Inhumans. Yeah. Now we just need Pietro to show up.
Yeah. All right. Let's give out another award. So this summer, me and Josue received... Oh, I need to send you it. I never sent it to you. I'm so bad about mailing things, guys. I'm sorry. I owe you both mail at this point. Me and Josue both received invitations to the Hellfire Gala on Krakoa with the X-Men.
We were fucking there.
And we have the invitations to prove it. Mine was very expensive.
I was a plus
one.
But
it was for charity, so it's fine. Yeah. No, you go. Remember, he sent me two invitations.
Yeah, yeah, no, that's right. I got my own.
So that's why Josue is going to get his own. That's what I haven't mailed to him yet. Of course, everybody was out on the catwalk for the Hellfire Gala showing off their best looks.
Fabulous.
And this was a hotly contested category. But to be honest, it was only ever going to go one way.
Yeah.
Honorable mention to our fourth place, which I'm not doing with every category, but because fourth place was our highest placing male.
Yes, bro. He was gorgeous. Oh my God, yes.
Third place. One of my nominations, one of my late nominations, I'm really happy how well it performed, Psylocke.
Yeah. Ooh, cool.
With the cool, like, you know, like, cape, and, like, she just looked awesome. She looked straight out of a samurai film, so. Mm-hmm. Second place, I know Josue is going to be happy about this one. His last nomination we came up with, Aurora Monroe herself, Storm.
Yeah, she was just rocking a literal storm. Like, oh my God, the way she was just drawn in every other book she was appearing on. It's like, yes. Love that it was like a next costume for her.
So are we saying Emma Frost lost? Is that what I'm hearing, Keith?
Yeah.
First place.
Ah, yes.
went to Emma.
Yes.
I mean, she had costume changes.
Yes. No one else did. Dramatic AF.
She had three separate outfits. I just love Emma so much. So yeah, she won by a pretty handy margin. It was between her and Storm, basically.
Yeah.
Entire time.
The Colossus one is the best one, though.
That's what I'm saying, dude.
I just looked these up.
Yeah, dude.
Also, I really like Cinch, but he was nominated.
Oh, Pam. And, oh, I loved this, too.
Yeah.
Can we talk about
Cyclops? Dokken was robbed. No, Cyclops looked like crap.
Oh, my God. Cyclops? Jesus Christ. No.
It's Professor X was the worst, though. Let's all agree on that.
Yeah.
Yes.
My favorite thing is that Emma showed up with Cyclops. Like, she's like got her three outfit changes, and Cyclops just says,
I think that's why she needed the outfit change.
Seriously. She's like, don't worry, honey. Yeah, I got this.
She's the Flash of the couple. That's how it works. So
he got to talk to Feige. That was cool.
Yeah, Kevin Feige was at the Hellfire Gala in the comic.
And talked to Cyclops.
It's great. It's they did a lot of, like, Patton Oswalt was there.
Yeah, there was a lot of guests.
Nice.
Yeah.
Leah Williams and David Baldion of X Factor were there.
Conan, of course, because of course yeah. Conan.
I want to give a hearty shout out to Rogue's Shoulders.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
she had that 80s looking thing going with the hair and yeah. stuff. Like, mm-hmm. That looks really good. So, moving on to our next category. Man, this was intense, Josue. And yeah, best animal character in comics. Oh, this was man. A joke category I threw in at the last second. Third place went to Pizza Dog.
Nice.
Who barely qualified because he appeared in Kate Bishop number one right before we did the category. And I'm like, I could put him in. So, because he didn't appear at all this year. Except for that.
It should have been Bats.
Part two, or second place. By two votes. Lost by two votes. Jeff the Shark.
Wait, really?
No.
Which means the winner. Capturing their first award in the Remies. All hail
yes! Oh my god!
Cinnamon the Cat.
Cinnamon! Fucking Cinnamon! This little book,
two
I thought... God. I got this book on a whim. Katie at Books Peter said, yo, that one's cute as fuck. I was like, alright, bet. Let me read it. And I was just in love with this little three-parter, which is the cat that its own imagination is what you see, and it's like the adventure part. When she fights the laser pointer, let me tell you, it's some of the most epic fucking thing you'll ever read and see. Definitely check out Cinnamon. It is a Remy certified winner.
Gotcha. Yeah. Yeah, man. I know the creator's going to be excited. That's the thing, because they really pushed it. So, yeah. Next up, we're going to look back at the year, and I want to know your biggest disappointment in modern culture of the year, as far as movies, music, books, whatever. I'm going to start with Liz, because I know what she's going to say.
The Green Knight. The Green Knight. The Green Knight. That's it.
What a bad movie.
I cannot describe. I wasn't like Birdman level rage, because that is probably the angriest I've ever been at a...
Oh my
wait,
God.
No, sorry. Anomalisa. That was... No, it was still Birdman, but...
Yeah, you hated Anomalisa.
But, and her. But this one was definitely in top five worst films. I tried so... I was so excited going in. I thought this was going to be awesome. I was worried when we first started, and I'm like, okay, they made some choices here. They're doing a lot of modern anachronisms, and you know, but it's okay. It's style. Like, I mean, I'm okay with that. I feel like that's artistic choice. Let's see how this goes. Wow. I wish I had just left. I really struggled in that film. It just was not for me. Everything about it. I even looked up online after I watched it, what did people like about it? And they just listed everything that I absolutely despised. So I have never been more disappointed in a Dev Patel production. I mean, man.
You kind of describe A Knight's Tale, though. I fucking love A Knight's Tale.
It's
no, A Knight's Tale is this done well. This one,
I'm very much joking.
Okay, I was like, no, the anachronisms don't bother me. Like, I mean, I was yeah. Like,
how dare you?
No, it wasn't even about the anachronisms. It was the plot. It was the plot and the characters, specifically Gawain, that character, man, and the lack.
They made some of the worst character choice adaptations I've ever seen.
My problem, like, honestly, it wasn't even characters.
Yeah. Right.
For me,
it was like an anthology, but like where nothing, like, okay, this is what we talked about. I think after we, because Keith had, like, we had to like deep, like, Keith was so gung ho.
So, okay, let me explain. Okay, I'm a big Arthurian legend fan. Anyone who's ever listened to the show knows that. I was so stoked, and it's Dev Patel, and I love Dev Patel and Alicia Vikander. Oh my god, this is gonna be great.
Joel, right? What is it? Joel Edgerton. Like, it was a great cast.
Yeah, and I like him.
Great
too.
Cast.
So I was going into it with Liz and her husband, and I'm like, I'm going to love this movie. And I determined to love this movie. And I liked it for a while, and then he left Camelot. And then I was like, oh, no, don't do that. No, I don't like this. And the movie ended, and I'm sitting here, in the movie, I actually looked over at Liz and her husband, and I'm like, do they hate it? I can't tell if they hate it or not. And then we got out of the theaters. I'm like, what do we think? And I'm like, I think I liked it. And Liz is like, that was the worst fucking movie I've ever seen. And I'm like, oh, and I'm like trying to defend it. And I'm like, oh God, I hate this movie.
I know.
Like, I just realized, I was like, I just came to the
conclusion. It's
funny because people think I'm really stubborn.
So funny.
I'm not. Liz is one of the few people that can change my mind about stuff.
Yep.
And she's like, this was stupid and pretentious. I'm like, you're
I'm right. like, tell me what you liked about it. Tell me what you liked. Yeah,
I was literally like, almost every camera movement was so pretentious and forced. I just couldn't stand
it. Did you like the close-up shot of his fucking semen?
No, we're not.
Oh, yeah, the Evangelion shot?
Yeah. Like, I just was just, that was at the point where I was like, this movie's just fucking with me, isn't it? Like,
I stopped caring after they didn't pay off on the part where it like they panned around, they did that full 360 turn.
Yes,
that was supposed to be him, like his body in that forest.
Yeah.
After that part, I was like, if they don't cash in on that soon, I'm done.
Yeah.
And then I just sat there mad.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think when the camera went upside down right before he met the giants, I was like, what the fuck am I looking at? I got really annoyed. I'm like, what is this? Like, that's a really dumb choice for no reason.
The whole movie, like, it should this movie would exist as interesting stills, like in a coffee book or something, mm-hmm. because there's still good visuals. That's the whole reason all of us were on
and
board.
The costume visually, I didn't have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the part I enjoyed.
It just fell apart so hard. Afterwards, I was like, it was the weirdest, like, 2017 cologne ad or 1965 art film.
Right. What I think what we decided on, what we concluded was that this film was the anti-version of the mythological tale, where it was literally like they took this tale and then they did everything that could basically make Gawain not make choices until the very end. Which even that, I argue, was that really a choice he made, or was that just because there was like, he was like, you know, gun to the head at that point. So I just felt like this character was one of the most passive main characters I've ever had to endure watching.
That's interesting. I don't think we got him making choices. I think we got two endings.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're done.
Screen Nine. we talked about this movie at length because we really tried. I just want people to know we really tried to like it. And I concluded that, man, this movie pissed me off. It was an anti-movie experience is what I felt.
Yeah.
No shade to Dev Patel. If just feel free, call me. It's cool.
Yeah.
We'll still
have call me too, please.
I know. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
All four of us are attracted to Dev Patel. So
it just wasn't for me.
Steven, was that your biggest disappointment, or did you want to add something else?
No, I'm okay with the Green Knight being in there. I also didn't like the French Dispatch at all.
Yeah,
that one was rough. I think that so it's told in a few different, like, as a few different vignettes, and I think the weakest one was put first when they were already going to be slow in the way that so many Wes Anderson films are, and I couldn't get brought back even with the strength of the second two.
Gotcha. Yeah. Josue, what about yourself, man?
I was thinking really hard on this one, so thank you for the time, because I don't know.
I mean, it could be a comic.
I was going around and like, because I was going for one, but then it's like, that was more of an I told you so with Zack Snyder's fucking Justice League shit.
I thought about it.
So it doesn't count. It was just one giant I told you so.
We weren't looking forward to that one. We were looking forward.
It wasn't disappointing. Yes.
Right.
Because we didn't have expectations.
Can my biggest disappointment been not being able to convince Josue to watch Arcane?
I was gonna say Arcane just to fuck with you, but and that's the thing. So and I literally concluded to kind of that. It's I was kind of mostly disappointed when this happened, that I kind of just like, I really just stuck to just like, you know what, I'm just gonna stick to my stuff that I kind of like for myself, and I'm really just gonna go keep away from like rest of other people's hype for a while. And I'm just really, really disappointed that Why the Last Man got canceled.
Yeah,
that's my biggest disappointment.
That was a big disappointment.
Yeah.
It didn't get to actually hit its good stride, and I'm just like, you know what? Fuck you on all your shows. I don't care. I'll look for my own things for a while. not to you guys, but in general, that's why I painted for a while.
Didn't Infinity Train not get renewed this year too? Was that this year?
It might. It's been canceled 2 or 3 times now. So until the creator is dead in the ground, it could come back. Like,
that was awesome.
And we'll cross our fingers out for that one. So. Yes. Mine is going to be Green Knight, but as an honorable mention, I love the joke of making it the Snyder Cut, but again, I didn't have expectations for it. But I did have expectations for the Suicide Squad.
Oh, really? I fucking love that movie!
I can't stand that movie.
It's
just a Harley Quinn.
I liked the movie enough. No, I didn't hate it.
I understand why people like it. I'm not saying other people should dislike it, because I don't. I have very specific things I didn't like about the movie. Number one, I hate Margot Robbie's Harley Quinn.
But you didn't like Birds of Prey either,
oh,
right?
Oh, we hated Birds of Prey.
I didn't like Birds of
Prey.
Hated
that one.
Which is just insane to me.
Oh, my
That's
God.
That's a good movie, even outside of just being those characters.
We'll talk about that off screen.
I was
I actually like Margot in this one the most out of all her iterations.
I like this one.
Of everything she's done, it's the best one, but I mean, that's a low bar. also, the cast was incredible, and the movie was very predictable, which never should be the case for James Gunn movie.
Did you predict Polka Dot Man?
I didn't predict
You predicted
him.
Cena going out fast.
I did, because he's a big star. I figured they couldn't get him. But no, once they announced he had his own spinoff show, I was like, I changed that. I was like, well, they announced that before the movie came out. He has his own show. I mean, he's not going to die right away. So, but I looked at all these crazy people, and I'm like, well, Pete Davidson's not going to be around. and I was like, I made a list. I'm like, none of these people are staying.
The weasel.
And I was wrong about literally two. It also just, the movie just stops abruptly right in the middle to go to Harley Quinn for 15 minutes and then goes back, and I'm like,
it is not 15 minutes. I counted it. It is not long
That's
at
just
all.
It is a Suicide Squad film like adaptation. Okay. They're just keeping in spirit with the series.
Keep in mind, I just don't like Suicide Squad. It's not a franchise I've ever cared about with DC. I've always been a Secret Six guy if we're going to talk about villain teams in DC. I just don't care.
I've never seen the first one. I have no stink.
Oh man,
I have no stink on me from that.
It's a waste of time.
No, I'm talking about the comics, Steven. I've just never cared about the comics.
I've never gone for those either. I don't buy any capes.
Wait,
in comics.
This one made me like Rick Flag.
Yeah, Rick Flag.
Yeah, Rick Flag.
But I think
great.
That's because Joel Kinnaman is like.
And Ratcatcher.
Yeah.
Those three.
Yeah, he's good. Joel Kinnaman's great.
Yeah.
And what about King Shark?
I liked King Shark, but I mean, he was mm-hmm. the Groot of the movie.
Yeah, but he was funny. Mm-hmm. He was cute.
Every movie has a Groot now.
Yeah, I agree with Keith on this one. The fact that that character was who he was, I was like, we're just going to do this one again? Okay. Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I expected more of James Gunn. That's what I'll say. So.
Did you watch Brightburn?
No, thankfully.
Okay, maybe that's why you expected more. Okay.
All right, let's go on some more awards. We're going to talk about Best Indie Published Book. So this one took a turn. So we'll go to the top three. Number three, taking its second third place finish of the ballot, Destiny New York.
Woo-hoo.
Nice.
Interesting.
Probably my favorite comic book of the year, maybe tied with one other.
You got to binge it, though.
True.
Yep.
Second, the book that led for half the month until a certain fandom found it and crushed
it. God.
Second place is Cinnamon.
Oh,
man. Huh.
But
what's the fandom?
Because of two very vocal creators and a very passionate fan base, first place receiving more votes than people who voted for the Oni Press question, the IDW question, the Dark Horse question, the Aftershock question, the Boom question, the Image question, basically anything but the Marvel DC questions, with almost 500 votes by itself.
Fuck.
By the horns.
Woo! By the horns!
Okay. Yes.
Hey!
Yeah. Absolute domination. Biggest margin of victory in either of our
That's
polls.
Crazy. I wouldn't have expected that. I'm glad they won by the horns, but yeah, no, that's a very, like, it feels like a very niche book. So even for indie, so that's awesome that it won.
I mean, really cool creators, and they rallied their fans.
Hell,
and they won. It was awesome. So
they rallied the herd.
Way to go.
Now for a much tighter award, Best Oni Press. So I believe we all had nominations in this category.
Yeah.
Steven had one. Let me see. So,
because I know what mine was in this one.
This is the... Yeah, this was very tight. So, yeah, I'm looking at the results here. Third place, Josue, Invader Zim, Dookie Lupor.
Yeah, good.
Second place, Agrit Suko Down the Rabbit
Hole. Yeah!
First place, Steven's nomination of Jonna and the Unpossible Monk.
Yeah! Ooh,
cool.
Which would have been my nomination if it got to me.
So, way to go to the Samnies.
I know, it's such a great book. Mm-hmm. That's a book that my kids are going to read one day. I will sit them down with that. You know what I mean? Like, it's just so good. Like,
mm-hmm.
I just love it. And it's like, because I haven't had a chance to sit and talk to you about it. Like, it's got such a Hanna-Barbera feel about it. You know what I mean? Like, almost like Flintstones, like the art, but obviously different. But like, it's just so much fun and approachable and cute,
mm-hmm.
and also like appealing to older people because it's funny and like. Jonna just punching a monster in the face and it going flying is incredible. Like, it's just so good.
I think that's the now bone is the way that I was looking at it and reading it.
That's a great way to put it, actually. I love bone. And I just want to go ahead and give a shout out to the other books because everybody got a lot of votes in this category. Rick and Morty Worlds Apart and Dryad.
Yeah.
Dryad, unfortunately, just isn't known for, I mean, not Dryad. Oni is just not known for original works too much. So Dryad kind of fell under the radar of a lot of creators or collectors, I think, which is a shame because it was really cool. So, all right, now we're going to talk about the year in review once again. Just best movie of the year for you. We'll start with Josue this time.
See, I didn't go out and watch the good movies, like the good movies.
Yeah.
Like basically, I would have said Keith's nomination. So I just stuck it to my HBO, their dual stuff. So I really stuck it to my comfort movie. So honestly, the shit I watched over and over and over again because of it, it's a 3-way tie between In the Order They Came Out, Godzilla vs. Kong, Mortal Kombat, as shitty as it was, and The Suicide Squad. Those are just like my comfort movies.
Nice. I mean, that's what this year was about, was comfort.
It was just stupid. I mean? It was just stupid time. Yeah.
Steven, what about yourself?
This is really hard. Honestly, I've been trying to like Google and see what movies came out this year just to even place that one.
Well, it doesn't even have to be from this year. What did you watch this year that you enjoyed? You know what I mean?
Summer Camp Island.
No, I mean, we'll talk about TV shows later. TV shows for later, Steven. Or just shut up.
for movies, I don't know. If we can come back to me on this one, I don't want to do this one a disservice.
Liz.
Probably.
I think yours might be mine.
I'm gonna say Dune. Maybe? So.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
Dune this is great. The year of Dune. This is the year I've been waiting for.
This is an old school Dune head.
Yeah.
So.
I want to say my mom is like, that was one of the first like sci-fi books she read like way back in like the 70s. So she loves Dune, the whole series. And I took her to see this and that was really cool. I saw Dune twice in like 3 days because
it's a good movie.
It's a movie to watch multiple times is like rough, but yeah, I knew nothing of Dune. It's like the only geek, like big franchise I never touched. Yep. And so Liz walked me through it, which was cool.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. We had,
that's a lot.
So like, yeah, I was like waiting for stuff to happen and Keith was completely had no idea what was going to happen. It was great. It was great. Yeah. Anyways. Yeah. Dune 2. Muad'Dib time.
And I think, I think Dune is actually a good example of a, like my criticism with Spider-Man Far From Home.
Oh, here we go.
Or No Way Home, I mean. Mm-hmm. Because Dune ends on kind of a downer note, obviously, but there's a hint of optimism. There's not a lot in Spider-Man No Way Home. That was my main concern with the ending.
You know there's going to be a
sequel. All right, you can't bring it up if we're not going to talk about Spider-Man. Sucks. We're going to save these. Otherwise, I'm gonna say you are incorrect.
Okay. God, don't have me around for the Spider-Man one, because I'm just going to shit on it.
No, it's okay. Come on.
Steven,
I want to say a shout out to Encanto, too. We just watched Encanto, and that's a film that I would say kind of lives up to the hype. I did enjoy it, and I watch a lot of animated films, especially the Disney musicals. This one truly feels like a Disney rent, like, it feels like a musical, which was really cool. And I really enjoy the story. It took me by surprise how much I enjoyed it. So
I'm gonna have to catch it. I was working when you guys.
Yeah, no, you definitely should. It was good.
It's good. And don't like text during it. I think that there's, even though there's not a lot of events or anything, I think it breaks a little bit of the experience if you get too distracted during.
Oh yeah, visually, it's very visual, and so that's always good too. But yes.
Nice. Steven, did you come up with one?
I did. It's the one that I keep forgetting about that I watched this year. It's a this year movie. But I keep forgetting how much I fucking loved Ghostbusters Afterlife.
Wow.
Oh, cool.
That's a good movie.
Really? Really? That's cool.
It's a good goddamn movie, guys.
Okay, a question on that one. If you've never seen any of the Ghostbusters film except for the remake one, is it good?
Yeah, that's where I was. Okay. I watched.
Never saw the original.
I didn't see Ghostbusters until like maybe last year.
Okay.
Oh wow.
And so I have no affinity for it. I watched that movie. Couldn't have given a shit less about it. like honestly, the original Ghostbusters is fine, but it's kind of like a person from a current time goes back and listens to older rock or older jazz or something, you've seen the product of those things. So going back and seeing those original ones aren't as impactful.
Yeah. It's also a product of its time.
Oh,
so than most.
Yes.
Movies.
Got it.
Yeah. But yeah, Ghostbusters, that's probably the movie that I had the most fun with that came out this year. As far as movies in general go, I watched The Golden Child for like the millionth time again this year. That's a good movie.
My movie of the year was Last Night in Soho.
Yeah.
Yep.
Really?
That movie was incredible.
We really enjoyed it.
I didn't get a chance to see it, and I want to.
When I walk out of a theater buzzing, you know it was a good movie. When I have things to say, it was either a really bad movie or a really good movie. And I was all about that movie. I had lots of little things that I was like, and this, I mean, Liz kept being like, remember the thing, you know, stuff like that. So what are you going to say, Steve?
Because you said something for the Suicide Squad, the newer one. You talked about not wanting to be able to predict it. I feel like Last Night in Soho telegraphed itself throughout the entire film.
I didn't see it coming.
Interesting.
Towards the end, okay. Yeah. But yeah. I thought it was. I don't think it's wrong to be predictable. I think, like in this film, the twist at the ending. I liked that. You know. Instead of being like, ooh, what a twist, it's like, now I'm sad. You know, like, this is, you know, you understand it, right? It's just like, so, yeah, I don't think it's bad that it was predictable, because to me, I like the character's journey that they went through, so.
That's fair.
And Anya Taylor-Joy was
She so really sells it. Yeah, she's really good.
Both female leads, because I never remember the other girl's name, the girl from Jojo Rabbit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're both so good.
No, she's really good. I haven't been able to really like for anything that Anya Taylor-Joy's acted in.
Have you watched?
I was gonna say like what?
I made it like 4 episodes in, and I think the parts that show her in the character are the least interesting parts of that series.
Incorrect.
The parts where the other actor are playing. Well, listen, I've already watched Hikaru Nogo and Bakuman and all the other manga that did that idea before. I didn't need
based on a book from like the 80s and a female character. Like, come on.
No, I think that's also a thing.
Wait, well, let's hold off on the Queen's Gambit conversation because I have a feeling it's going to come up in a moment.
Hey, I want to say we're going to talk about comfort. Venom, Let There Be Carnage. I really enjoyed that film.
It was so ridiculous. Like,
that movie, we were laughing.
Liz loves Venom.
I love Venom.
Liz loves movie Venom a lot.
So that movie was a great experience.
if you love that Venom movie, I want to show you a website called Tumblr. It's going to be great.
I was like, don't consult the text. I was there. I've been on Tumblr. Yeah, no, I know all about Tumblr.
Liz introduced me to Tumblr.
I'm not saying that you haven't been on Tumblr. I'm just saying like the fan art's there. Oh, boy.
Oh, well, yeah, no. It's not like a sexual thing. I just think Venom's great. Venom is always like the character I think that's like, that I always play in like every campaign that I love in all media. Just like.
In D&D and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah. Like, the big asshole character. It's just, but super strong, so just, you know,
yeah, just a half orc barbarian.
Yeah, half orc barbarian basically is my default character.
So And the way he said Eddie.
I know. So
every time he said Eddie, we would be like, yes.
You know, my favorite, I think my favorite scene is when he goes to the church, hype speech they do, where they're like, yeah, we're going to do this. And then he walks in and sees Carnage. He's like, oh, shit. He's like, nope, we're leaving.
He's like, that's a red one.
Yeah, he's like, that's a red one. No, no, no. Like, we're dead. Yeah, no, that movie, I'm very fond of. I'm very fond of the Venom.
Yeah.
Films.
So yeah, mine was Last Night in Soho, but I did want to give an honorable mention to an animated movie that I would probably rewatch again and really enjoyed, which is The Mitchells Against the Machines.
Oh, you got me. That's a really good movie.
I really enjoyed that movie. Mm-hmm. Like, we watched it one night. That was my biggest surprise, probably, of 2021. I was like, I really like this. Like, it was really good, and I love that movie. So, anyways. All right, moving on, let's talk about some more awards.
Huh? The pug.
That What'd pug.
Oh, yeah, the pug. Again, there's always a Groot, guys. best IDW book. Okay, so this one, honestly, it came down to three books, and it went back and forth. And the difference between third and first place is less than 10 votes. That's how tight this was between these three. Third place, I know the one I think Josue wanted to win. Sea of Sorrows.
Such a damn good book.
Yeah. Second place, probably our sentimental favorite.
Oh.
Canto 3.
Yeah.
But first place, one of my nominees, Star Wars The High Republic Adventures. It's been a really great book. It follows a group in the High Republic, so like the thousands of years ago era they're doing right now, and it follows a group of Padawans as they're training. And so it's almost like a school manga, basically, but for Jedi kids. And it's been great. And they're doing the like a lot of the anime arcs where they're like, okay, this is this character's story and what's going on with them. And you get to learn about different people. And one of their teachers is a Jedi named Buckets of Blood, and he's funny. And like, it's just a really great book. It's totally caught me off guard how much I really enjoy that book.
That's what I do. I am always fond of you talking about it, because I do love that concept. It's like something that we've never gotten, just Padawan field trips, and who wouldn't want that?
It literally opens with them on a field trip with Yoda and Buckets of Blood. Like, and so that's good. How the whole series starts. It's great. So,
Buckets of Blood.
Yeah, it's great. And he talks about himself in the third person, like The Rock. It's great. It's like, there's one issue they do where they have the Great Jedi Race, and it was probably my favorite issue, where basically they're just having a race through a space station, and it's like all the Padawans are doing it, and Buckets of Blood's the one like commentating. He's like, run, you know, there's no rules. He keeps screaming, there's no rules. And they get to the finishing line. He's there at the line. He's like, come on, come on. Chase them out and cheering them on, and they're running towards him. And then he force shoves them all back and passes the finish line. Goes, Buckets of Blood wins. He's like, there are no rules. It's so great, dude. I love Buckets of Blood. Great book. Fully deserving. Next up, best Dark Horse. This
contentious
one. Here we go.
This one went back and forth between two books. I think you're gonna be happy with how it ended. Third place went to Dead Dogs Bite.
So
that book blew me away. Like, it was so good. Second place went to Neil Gaiman's Norse Mythology.
Interesting.
Yes, with the promotion it got, the fact it only took second is interesting, but it says a lot about Killer Queens.
Oh, yes!
2-time Remy Award winner, Killer Queens.
With the sweep.
This is the part in the award show where they go, this is Killer Queens' second award for the night.
Exactly, yeah. And David Bauer has to give a second acceptance speech where he's like, oh, I don't have a second one prepared.
Except I do. He's a lawyer. He's a prepared man.
Here's the acceptance speech I prepared in case Canto won. But yeah, both fully well-deserving books. So, next question I have for you about 2021. We're going to talk about TV shows now. Best TV show that got you through the year. I'm going to start, because I haven't started one of these yet. And my answer is the easiest answer I have. It's Reservation Dogs.
Oh, thank you.
That's one of the best shows that's been made in years. Mm-hmm. I love that show. It's one of my favorites.
It was so good. Very impactful.
I can't wait for it to come back. The casting was perfect.
Yeah.
Like, there was no bad casting. Devery Jacobs stole my heart. She stole my heart when she was in American Gods, but she stole my heart even further. It's perfect. Everybody was fantastic. I know Liz really enjoyed it. She really liked Willie Jack quite a bit. And Willie Jack just made us laugh the entire way through, like, but also made us cry. It was the weirdest, most emotional show. Like, honorable mention to the Queen's Gambit, actually. So,
yes,
yeah, Half-Orc Barbarian, exactly. So, and then, like, I remember when we were when the episode with Big and Cheese was up.
That was a good one.
I remember somebody wanted us to go to, like, hang out at their house or something, and me and Liz were joking and be like, but it's a Big and Cheese episode. Like, you don't understand. Reservation Dogs is on. It's a Big and Cheese episode. We're staying home.
Right.
Like, so, just, I love that show. I love the world they built. Someone from Oklahoma, like myself, who's seen some of these reservations, who had to learn Cherokee in high school for a while, you know, who had to take a class literally on the five tribes. It was just really cool to see this. And to see, especially all the white people that were, like, in the first episode, especially the meth head dudes that were, like, trying to claim native blood. And I was like, yeah. God, that felt way too familiar to me.
Yeah. So. I feel the same on this one. I felt a greater kinship to the characters in the show just because, mm-hmm. like, I knew these people from being in Yuma.
Yeah.
Plus, the dread that built the entire time with Daniel, where mm-hmm. you're like, something bad happened, and they handled that, they paced that perfectly.
Yeah.
So, I loved that. So, Reservation Dogs, and then, like I said, Queen's Gambit is my honorable mention. Liz, TV show for you for the year.
Gosh, guys, I watched so much TV this year. Nice. Especially Netflix. Like, I literally would just put on anything that showed up on Netflix. I can't remember if Shadow and Bone came out this year. Did it?
It did.
Yes.
That should have been on my list.
That damn. Was, like, definitely one that when we talk about came out of nowhere for me, that one. Like, I saw it and I was like, this looks okay. Kind of, you know, YA, a little tropey. Yeah, I watched the first 30 minutes of the first episode and I was like, we were going to watch. I was like, Keith, get in here. We're watching this again. I need someone who I can talk
to. The Crows.
Yeah.
The Crows
it was
alone.
The Crows.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They had best
you
D&D
see,
episode.
You can see up there. That's the entire run. I've read all 7 books this year, so that's how much the show was.
Yeah, no. Nice. So Shadow and Bone, definitely just, I mean, I read all the Crows books, both of them, and the first Alina book, and I got Shadow and Storm, actually, I think, or I need it, because I wanted to actually put it on my nightstand to start reading it, because I'm finally... I heard the Crows are...
It's on the bookshelf in front of you because I put it in there so you would have it.
So I can see it. Yeah, I do see it right now. There it is. Yeah, so no, that one. I watched Sweet Tooth, which led to me reading the comic. I did like Sweet Tooth, the show. The comic was interesting. It's different. You know, it's always like... It's funny how you watch like the comic adaptation, like the... Like even like Why the Last Man. It's like you watch the TV show and then you read the comic it's based on and it's like different.
Yeah.
And it's good. But yeah, Sweet Tooth was good. I watched Troll Hunters this year.
Nice.
Got way into it.
Yes, that's a lot to go back to.
Oh my God. Yeah, that was. Like, I wanted to watch it because I saw there was a character fan cam on Twitter that someone was going crazy on, just posting it under everything that felt like I saw it. I was like, fine, I'll watch the show. Like, you know, I'll give it a try. I'd been kind of avoiding it, but it was Guillermo del Toro. So I was like, oh, well, we'll try it. I tried to watch the show that it's Dukesy, the Wizards show first. And I was like, I got like 15 minutes in. I was like, I don't know what's going on. So I watched all the way back 3 seasons of Troll Hunters. And that ended up being my favorite. I actually genuinely like the Troll Hunters show. I think it's actually a really good show. And I think of it fondly now. So, yeah. And then, of course, Arcane.
Yeah.
I had to be forced to watch that show, and I'm glad I did. I was, because, yeah, I was like, League, no thank you. And then I was like, well, the animation looks cool. I'll give it a chance. And then I was like, I am here for this show.
Which gives me my natural transition to Steven.
Oh, well, we already know mine for this one. No, yeah, I think the one that was the biggest single experience, I think, was Arcane. It's one of those ones where you were hyped for something and you try to tell everyone about it forever before it came out so they could be prepared. And then it happened. And, like, I loved it from the start. And then I just had to sit there and wait as, like, nobody talked about it until everyone was fucking talking about it. But I don't care. It's gotten a bunch of critical praise, and it's deserved. It's gorgeous.
And a second season.
Yeah. Yeah, it was cool. I was happy to see when the first season ended and everyone was like, season two. A person that works on the show was like, yeah, we've been plugging away at season two for a few months now.
Nice. No.
Like, they were already going. But yeah, aside from that, watching the new season of Ted Lasso, just more Ted Lasso, please, forever.
I got to catch up. I've never watched an episode, but it seems like right up my alley. No.
Oh, man. Okay, well, enjoy the experience. If you like Steven Universe, Ted Lasso.
Yeah.
But other than that, the other one that was a surprising one for me was a thing that I didn't watch before. This has been a year of going back and watching things. I think this show you can only watch if you're already watching it. You know, there's some shows where it's like, we'll skip the first season or the first five episodes or something, and that's okay. That's Schitt's Creek.
Schitt's Creek is incredible.
It's really Thank good. You. I fucking hated that show until I was already watching it.
It is rough to get started, but once you're comfortable with the character, once the family are these awful people, it becomes an amazing show.
My problem was Roland. I hate Roland. I do not like Roland at all.
One of my catchphrases is white trash gives me hives. And that, like, because I'm from Oklahoma. Again, I said, I spent a lot of my life around white trash and they make me really uncomfortable. And he makes me uncomfortable, but he's such a, I mean, he is a major part of the show, but he's not so major that I couldn't enjoy it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like,
so. Thank you for bringing up Schitt's Creek, because another quick honorable mention, Letterkenny.
Mm.
I watched all of Letterkenny this year.
This was a show I put on. And Keith,
I didn't want to watch it.
I was that's how Schitt's Creek happened to me.
And then
and I've watched all nine seasons. I've watched more than Liz has.
He's actually
I realize now I've done a disservice to this, because I didn't think I had to mention this here, because I mentioned it so long. From like 2019 until it finally came out, Space Sweepers on Netflix is incredible.
I liked it. It's not a show. Do you mean it for the movies? Yeah, I liked it.
Yeah,
it was really good.
I should have mentioned this earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a good one. No, I'm sorry. I could literally list so much on Netflix movies that I watched this. I could literally sit here and list like a whole recommendation list on that. But Space Sweepers was a good one. Yeah.
Like, if Liz, or if, you know, like the joke, like people sit, they sit in front of Netflix and they take hours trying to figure out what to watch. Liz should start a business where she just walks over, takes your remote, and puts something on. Because sometimes I'm like, let's watch something, and she'll just put something on with no discussion. I'm like, guess we're watching this. like, and so I've seen some of the most random shit.
Decisive, like, man. So, yeah, I know. Like the war film. Remember the Dutch war film?
I was like, what the fuck is happening?
The Forgotten War on Netflix. Yeah, I just put that on, and Keith's like, we're like, it's getting surprisingly emotional. I didn't even think he was paying attention.
I was cooking at the time, so and our kitchen looks out over the living room.
Yeah, no. Oh, Space Sweepers though, just because I don't think we were clear what it's about. It's about if you like what you like, if you like Cowboy Bebop, you'd like Space Sweepers. Yeah, it's. Yep, it's basically bounty hunters or scavenger hunters in space, and they go on a heartwarming adventure.
I think the cool thing about Space Sweepers, because I literally talked about that movie from 2019 until it finally came out on Netflix. That if you didn't like the Netflix Cowboy Bebop, you'll like this. If you liked the Netflix Cowboy Bebop, you'll like this.
Nice.
I liked the Netflix Cowboy Bebop. We're not going to talk about that today, because that's the discussion. So, wait, give me your TV show.
That's
we've been talking about.
I'm
going to say my two. My surprise one that had us fucking rolling the whole season through, fucking Hacks on HBO. was so fucking funny. And one where it's like, well, the I was pretty stoked for the premise already, but I feel like I've kind of heard or seen this already.
Yeah.
But then the character just being so vicious, or Jean Smart just being on HBO for a while now, having like her being on Watchmen, loved her there, but then being like kind of a tender mom, she's still like strong in her own way. But in Mare of Easttown, which is also a great fucking show.
I was like,
thought about that one
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I forgot to mention Mare of Easttown.
Mare of Easttown was fucking incredible. So seeing Jean Smart there, but then just see, oh my God, seeing her in Hacks, just, oh fucking A, she was awesome in that one. Christopher McDonald was really good. Them going back and forth. Then the gay assistant, the Marcus, he was so good. But then really the one that we just fucking think of fondly is Jimmy, was like Ava's like agent. Mm-hmm. The fact that he just came off as a, like that person, kind of like his role in Broad City, where he's like there, but he obviously doesn't give a shit. He's just going to do his own thing. But then you realize this character actually does care about her.
Oh, you know, it's so much.
He's just super fucking busy. No, then this show just had his role. He was so funny all the way through. But yeah, but then of course I got to say my Summer Camp Island. That season five was so good. I love this direction that they're doing, where like they're taking their time with like three episodes per chapters. Season four was like with season three and season five. Season four did have like their sporadic adventures. But I like when they do this pause of like, we're going to tell a story to catch up on stuff with, like, in this case, Barb, and like being in the beginning and just taming the island from the bears. What do you get? Betsy and the answer to the ghost. We get like the ghost boy and his dads. But then what do the ghosts actually mean? We get that answer. And then finally, who is Mildred? We get that answer. It was so good. There's a great time travel part with Oscar and the monsters, and it was just so good. It literally had me just in tears at the end of it as the credits were rolling, when Oscar comes back and how we're just, oh, it's you, and is in like in this full complete double circle of time, and now we're all together and we're all that much stronger of friends. And then touching up on the last three episodes where like just the last couple of characters that haven't gotten their what really are they in the island, and then just literally the finishing touches on the episode, which was the last episode, was the 100th episode, which is really, really cool. But Lemmy in the show is totally our Betsy, the way she just interacts with Woodstock. I love Summer Camp Island so much. It makes us laugh hard, makes us cry harder, and it's really just the comfort show, the cartoon now, and I just praise this to Summer Camp Island.
Did you watch The Owl House, Amphibia, no, or Craig of the Creek?
I haven't seen any of those, but I want to. I'm just so stuck on this show. I'm just like, I'll just rewatch the shit out of any season of these.
Nice. All right, moving on to some more awards. Next up, Aftershock. This one was interesting in the end. Third place, Knock 'Em Dead.
Dope.
That was really cool. It did so well considering it was about half the year ago. You know, it's been a while.
It's like Ghost Rider about comedy, stand up comedy. It was actually really good.
It was really weird. Really good. So, second place, Seven Swords.
Oh, shit.
Which we're still waiting on the last issue for, but that series has been amazing. So. But the winner, and I'm so excited because I get to tag this man, and I love talking to him, Scout's Honor by David Popoz.
Nice.
Loved this book. It's the Boy Scout, or the Scouts, I should say, in a post-apocalyptic future, and now they're like the people that defend humanity against monsters. So David Popoz likes to take a normal thing and twist it. So one of his books is Calvin and Hobbes, except Calvin is a grown man and Hobbes is still his imaginary cat partner, but he's a grizzled detective and he's having hallucinations, and it's like, it's really good. Like, he does stuff like that. So I highly recommend Scout's Honor if you haven't read it. It's got a really cool story. It's got a like really fun main character. It's a lot going on there. So next up, the category, the struggling category, best Boom release.
Fuck. Okay, here we go.
So for this one, we had 10 nominees. Because me and Josue could not control ourselves.
It was just hard.
The way it worked is, see, Steven had two nominations, I think.
Mm-hmm. Did I?
Or did Liz have one?
I had one. Yep.
Oh, Steven had one. Steven had Mammo.
Mm-hmm.
Ah.
Liz had orcs.
That's a good one. And
we were like, that means we only get two apiece because there's two books that have to be nominated. Mm-hmm. And neither of us wanted to waste our nominations for it. So we're like, can we just come to an agreement these are on the ballot and we each get three? And so that's what happened. So, yeah.
Wait, so what I'm hearing here, Liz, is that they got to put a whole bunch of things, and we both had our chances lowered, right?
Oh, please tell me what other nominations did you have from Boom, please?
are you kidding me? Like, but I have to choose between Boom and Boom Box, which both have fantastic things.
And Kaboom. Don't forget Kaboom. So, so I think, in my opinion, the correct book won.
The correct. So,
third place.
Sorry, other books.
No. Seven. Third place. Seven Secrets.
Okay. Great book.
Second place. One of the ones that we said has to be nominated.
Oh, shit.
Something is Killing the Children.
Yeah.
But the winner, and I've seen this win many Best Comic Books of the Year awards across the board, The Many Deaths of Layla Starr.
That's a good book.
Good.
It's fantastic. It's
wait, was that not
beautiful.
One that I put in?
No.
I freaking love that damn book.
I mean, let's just say it was.
That was my nomination. Thank you. That was my first nomination, actually. Because you nominated We Only Find Them When They're Dead. That's the other one you nominated.
Okay.
Simone DeMayo.
Wait, no, I didn't. Oh. That would have been on my list.
Steven, that's me.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I love that damn book.
Yeah, no. Josue, you picked Eve, Seven Secrets, and Proctor Valley Road.
Yeah.
Proctor Valley is really good, too.
Yeah. Honestly, everything got votes. Everything did well. But Layla Starr was a force of nature.
That issue three, oh my god, the cigarette issue, fuck, just blew me away.
Yeah. So, with that in mind, let's talk about the year in review.
Wait, I think we should... Which of the year in review ones can we axe and then do two more awards? Because we've done so much of the year in review, and I feel bad for anyone listening for just the awards.
Well, we'll make it quick then. Just don't go into too much detail when we do this one. Give me one or two things you've been listening to this year, music-wise. I will start with Josue.
Duh.
One or two, Steve, Josue.
Hierarchy for the Sky, Mirror, came out in February, and it was not just the album of the year, but just fucking... album of the year. This thing was just so perfectly composed for 10 songs and you're on a fucking trip. So good. For my second one, I've literally been grooving out to like all my other 2021 jam outs, and right now I have to shout it out to the Maria Cinema Arlo Parks Collapse and Sunbeams and those two.
Stop it. Cheating. Steven. Music that's been jamming out this year.
Okay, so for this one, the first one is the band Hot Mulligan. I've just been really enjoying Hot Mulligan so much. And then past that, just everyone should go listen to Alex Melton's covers on YouTube. He'll take a pop punk kind of song, turn it into country, or
you mentioned
the reverse.
Actually. Yeah,
it's very good.
I'm not going to talk about my usuals. I will say I really enjoyed the Jazz Party album, and I didn't give it enough respect. It's just fantastic. Fickle Friends. And also, right at the end of the year, this Fleet Fox's album is sticking with me. It's one of my favorite albums of the year. I wish it had come out a little earlier, but it helped me get through a holiday season really, really nicely.
Oh.
Like an emotional holiday season, and it was really fucking good. So... Liz, any music you want to shout out that you've been listening to this year?
A quick look at my Spotify. I think the only thing that came out this year that I've listened to was Halsey's If I Can't Love, I Want Power album.
Yes.
I have played that a few times this year. So I do like that song and that album.
That album should have been on our awards. I panicked because I had a last minute substitution. I love Lord, but Halsey was better. I should have.
Me too on rock album. I hate when I kept saying I was going to split the vote with Citizen. It should have been DuckTales with Impressions. I literally just listened to it again on repeat, and I keep kicking myself over the head.
Yeah. I love the tradition. That's like actually, it looks like my third most listened to song this year.
All right. So we'll kick back to awards real quick. Best image.
I want to win this one so bad, guys.
I want to give a shout out to my favorite book of the year, which was Carmen.
Okay.
Did not place in the top three, but I have to give a shout out to it. So
I'm just not sad enough to love that book.
I loved it. I'm very much that sad. I am very much that book. So in third place, The Me You Love in the Dark.
Ooh,
hey! Good.
A late year entry. It didn't even finish by the time we nominated, but we knew it was going to be a
good one. Yeah. So.
Second place. Sorry, Steven. Ultra
Damn Mega it.
Took second place.
Ultra Mega was second? Fuck. So good.
This way, you're not going to be upset, though. First place. A book that broke our hearts and returned this week to break our hearts again. Stray Dogs.
Yeah. Fucking Stray Dogs, dude. Yeah. It was the ending I needed after Iroh left us this year. And oh my god, it was just perfect. It was so fucking heavy. But those last moments of like seeing her in the park and like literally what was said, what the people were saying, it's just like, that's my Iroh on those fucking pages right now. Oh god, it was just so fucking brutal. Really, really good.
Next up, best vault book. In third place is Barbaric.
Nice.
Which I think if we got more than three issues of, probably would have
been higher. Steven, you would like this one.
Is this the one with the cool cover with the axe?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I tried to get the logo off the person who did that. It didn't happen.
Second place. Money Shot. Stills to going strong.
Huh.
We love our Money Shot.
Still hard and strong.
Rock hard. Yeah. But actually, pretty handily winning this category. This should not be a surprise if you listen to the show. The Autumnal.
Fuck yeah.
One of the most visually arresting comics I've read in a long time. It blew me away. Like,
Satisfying.
Yeah. So we're going to do three categories this time before we kick to another question. So our next one is Best DC Release. Non-Gotham. Okay. So we took the Batman books out because we didn't want to be a bunch of Batman books, and we didn't want the Batman fandom to overwhelm the category for a Batman book.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of great DC books out there we want to get some spotlight on. Third place. Last year's winner had a sequel. Beast Boy Loves Raven took third place this year.
Hey, nice. Yeah.
Good book.
It's right behind me.
Second place, the book that led the entire month until the last week. Nice House on the Lake.
Oh, god damn it. Oh.
But thanks to a late surge, probably instigated by Tim Sheridan himself, a book that I'm glad it won because maybe they won't cancel it.
Yes!
Titans Academy.
Awesome.
Been such a great book. It's a school book with the Titans teaching the next generation. If you need anything more, I don't know what to tell you. So. All right. Next up, last question I have as far as looking back. Obviously, we're talking about comics and everything. Is there anything specific? Let's go one thing that you read this year that has stuck with you. I will go to Liz first.
So I watched Sweet Home on Netflix and found out it was based on a comic on Webtoon by Carnaby Kim. So anyways, I read it. It was really good. Really, really good. And it's it's just like a really cool horror comic that, you know, you definitely want to marathon while you're staying up all night reading. Just haven't had an
That's the zombie one where they're stuck in the...
It's not...
The thing?
Yeah, they're in their apartment building. And there's... The world ends. Monsters are outside. And they're having to basically survive monsters. In this apartment building with monsters. People turning into monsters. Yeah, and there's like a whole kind of like That's philosophical right. element to it about the whole monsterization thing. And the main character is a character who basically... This might be triggering for some people, but he's a very depressed main character all alone in the world who is planning on killing himself 19 days into the future. Basically, when his favorite show's movie comes out, he was planning on going to the premiere and then ending it all. And which of course another character immediately makes fun of him when he tells him that, and it's like, but no, it is really good. I don't know. I've been reading the other stuff that author has written, and I'm currently reading Shotgun Boy, which is a prequel series to Sweet Home, and it is also very good. And I just like how they're horror comics generally, but there's always like, it's the horror I like, where there's usually some sort of like commentary or theme or delving into like, you know, human nature, good and evil, you know, stuff like using the supernatural to explore that. So yeah, I like those comics.
You should read Bitter.
Even I liked the show.
Yes.
I loved that show. Watching it with you, I thought it was
And really Keith good is show. Dubs over subs, so him yeah. to watch subs anything is I'm dubs. Hard.
I'm dubs with subs.
Yeah.
For the record.
yeah. Everything with subtitles, please. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Josue, what one thing you read that stuck with you regardless?
I'm not finished, but it's literally what I've been catching up Berserk. On. It's fucking Berserk. It's literally just been in my brain, and I've been pacing it, and it's really been like it used to be that grail where it's like, well, if I don't read it, it hasn't ended. I'll accept some spoilers here and there when they pop up, but it's just so epic that it's like I'd never want to like start it to never finish it. But then we had the tragic fucking passing of Kento Miura this year, and it's like, well, fuck me for not reading it this whole fucking time. And Sochi has just been like literally stabbing me to just like fucking just because she has read everything, and finally getting to it. I'm literally halfway into it now, and it just sucks saying that I'm like, now it's just literally the second half, and I don't want it to end. So, but right now it's just been like, it's finally catching up on Berserk.
Nice. Steven, co-host of Love of Pages, you read a lot this year.
Yeah. Yeah, are we going with book or just comic?
Whatever, just something you read.
Okay.
No, manga.
and why is yeah, it that true. YA adaptation of Sherlock Holmes?
God. no, I think
that actually sounded intriguing to me. I wouldn't read it, by the way.
Yeah, no. They were all good. They were good. For this one, I don't know. I think I'm still going to go with comic, because as much as I liked some of the books that I got to read or / listen to this year, I think that the biggest one that I really enjoyed, that I looked forward to in a time where I had a hard time really enjoying a lot of things, was Homesick Pilots. That series kicks so much ass, guys. It's gorgeous visually. The story is good. Everything in there feels good as a over 30-year-old person.
The characters are just fucking great.
Mm-hmm. The music talk,
distinct and fun. Like, oh, it's so good.
The fucking music talk is what gets me every time.
Oh yeah, yeah. And then they just cut from this horror story to give a commentary about punk.
About something here and there.
Yeah, it's really good. It's really good. If anybody does need book recommendations, find me somewhere on the internet. I don't know.
Yeah. My reading, it's Shadow and Bone. It's the whole series. I've read 7 books this year of Shadow and Bone.
The Expanse ending?
I was going to say honorable mention is the last book of The Expanse. I still don't think I've emotionally recovered from that yet.
Oh, okay.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it's been brutal. So, all right, our last 3 categories. Back to DC for DC release Gotham related. This was probably the least dramatic award we have, because I think we all know where this was going. But second and third place are interesting. Second place or third place went to Batman Urban Legends, the anthology one.
Oh, cool.
Which I've been really enjoying. But it was actually, it beat Catwoman Lonely City by 1 vote.
What?
Interesting. Yeah.
Love that one.
Second place went to Robin.
Mm.
Yeah.
Good.
Which we've been really enjoying. The Adventures of Damian Wayne and
mm-hmm.
The Rooftop Race.
Yes.
Which we keep referring to, which is one of the best issues of comics. It's
one of my favorite issues of the year, for sure.
Yeah. But the clear and apparent winner.
Yep.
For anyone paying attention to DC Comics. And the reason there's a separate category, because I didn't want DC beaten by this
one. Yeah.
Nightwing.
Fucking Nightwing. I think it needed the delay.
It might be the best superhero comic out there.
It's definitely arguably comic. For sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it needed Beautiful. The time it did for its trade release, because everybody was going to buy this fucking thing.
It's gorgeous. It's absolutely gorgeous. And the newest issue, they're just showing off at this point.
Yeah.
Like, it's ridiculous. Like,
the We're Back Bitches issue? Yes.
We're Back Bitch, yeah. Like, so, now let's shift to Marvel. Best Marvel release, non-X-Men related, non-Krakoan, as I put it. Third place, Strange Academy.
Nice.
Second place, Josue.
This is where it finally happened.
The king is dead.
Oh, buddy.
Second place, losing out in this category for the first time in 3 years, mm-hmm. is Daredevil.
It's only because Chip is ending it. That's why.
No, I'll tell you why. Because first place is Moon Knight.
Oh, okay, cool.
Moon Knight has been incredible so far. So excellent job to Jed McKay. Who had two books on this nomination list, by the way. Better Ray Bill also came very close.
Fuck yeah, that was a great fucking book.
So, yeah. And finally, our last category. And as always, on our show, we end with X-Men. So we're doing it here, too. Best Marvel Krakoan release. Last year's winner was X-Men, which was not nominated this year. Because me and Josue got into a power struggle with each other. Where we didn't want to waste our nominations on books that probably should be nominated. Do we want to go with our favorites? But that's cool because our favorites should be what are nominated. So if we can't find room for X-Men, we can't find room for X-Men. So third place. This came down to it, Josue. Once again, leading most of the month, Planet Size X-Men 1.
Oh, goddamn. Cool.
Second place. Recently ending. Heartbreaking Hellions.
Nanny! Orphan Maker!
But the winner. And there's no better way for this award ceremony to end for We Have Issues than to announce this winner. Our X Book of the Year is X Factor.
Yes! Fuck yeah! Oh my god, yes!
X Factor, which was canceled 8 months ago.
Something like that.
But the fandom is so strong, it lasts till the end of the year to make it the year book of the year.
Oh, God. There is so much.
The only book that fights with Guardians of the Galaxy for the gayest book in comics.
like, from the big two.
From the big two. I adored X Factor. The fact that Leah got to do Trial of Magneto, which, mm-hmm. honestly, if we had waited to do nominations, would have been one of my nominations.
Okay.
But yeah, I'm very excited about that. That's really cool.
So dope. And there's just still so much promise to that book where it could still come back and still tell those untold stories because fucking it was just, I love that book so much.
Yeah. All right. So we're going to wrap up with one final question, guys. With books, movies, music, comics, video games, everything out there culture-wise, give me one thing you're most looking forward to. In 2022. I will start to give you guys a second to think about it.
Thank you.
Well, you go first.
That's what I'm saying. I'm going to go first. It's hard because I have two thoughts. My first one is I want to see where the X-Men line goes from here because we talked about it. They're getting rebooted. Everything's changing up. So I'm really excited to see what happens there.
Mm-hmm.
But Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness.
Ooh.
It looks insane.
Yeah.
Like, so I'm very excited about that. It's going to be visually beautiful. I'm really excited to see where that goes. So that's going to be my pick. Ho Sway. I'm going to kick to you next.
For me next.
And maybe just as a reminder, I can let you guys know what's coming out for the MCU at least next year, if you'd like. But
yeah, hit me a quick one.
Okay. I say that and then I don't have it up.
This is, I know, Doctor Strange second time out. Not having a list up for this podcast. And then,
I know Thor 4 as well.
Why don't you go home? Thor 4 does come out next year. Guardians.
And Guardians. Oof.
No, Black Panther 2.
And Black Panther 2.
Not Guardians. Not Guardians.
Oh, okay. Oh, actually, that's supposed to be 23. Well, even still, I don't know. I think with my first choice, I can actually start backtracking then for that one. Maybe, hopefully, getting a PS5 is what I'm most excited for.
Yeah. I'm excited for you to do that too because you stream. So that'd be
really
cool. So. Mm-hmm. Liz. We're also getting Moon Knight. We're also getting She-Hulk and Ms. Marvel.
And Spider-Verse. I was thinking, for Marvel, it's a toss-up.
Oh, Spider-Verse 2.
Yeah.
Out of the shows, She-Hulk, for sure, I'm the most excited for.
Spider-Verse. Yeah. But I do want to do a shout-out because I think Starfield is supposed to come out next year.
Mm. Yes.
Is that what they keep saying that every year?
Maybe. I'm hoping this will be the year because it's been a while. So, like, Bethesda's games are one of, like, Fallout and Skyrim. You know, I just feel like, you know, those are games I play. They release Skyrim every few years is basically when I decide to play Skyrim again every few years. So I think the last sci-fi game I kind of enjoyed was like The Outer Wild or The Outer Wilds. The Outer Worlds.
Worlds.
Sorry,
or Wilds?
The Outer Worlds. Worlds. So I'm excited.
Both are good though.
Starfield.
Both are good.
Yes. Yeah. I'm excited for Starfield. I'm getting hyped.
Also, video game shout out for Horizon Forbidden
West. Yes, that one as well.
Yeah.
There's so many video
games. That's why I need a PS5.
Yeah. Praying for no delays.
Steven.
Yeah, same.
Steven, what are you looking forward to?
Spider-Verse was a good pull. But honestly, the thing that I look forward to week is actually the Adventure Zone Ethersea. It's a podcast from the McElroys, their whole D&D actual play series. I just love the world that they've built. And every single week, I get so excited to see what they're going to do because they're crafting a whole new world with different rules and everything just based on the 5e like actual system. So it's really good. Really, really good.
Nice. All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for joining us on this year-end wrap-up / award ceremony.
Woo!
Congratulations, all the winners.
The Remy's!
Well deserved. Everybody that won, I don't think there was an injustice done this year at all. Like,
I don't think that they put out a comic this year.
Boo! Steven has been
quick on his feet.
So, guys, thank you so much for joining us. As always, for We Have Issues. So, we're gonna go and do some quick plugs. Steven doesn't have a Twitter. He's a hater.
No, I have a Twitter.
Nope,
I just don't
have a Twitter.
come and look at some of my photography that I'm posting over on Instagram. It's Peppermint Gentleman over there.
It's Gentleman on Instagram. Is it Peppermint Gent on Twitter?
I forget which one's which. Listen, if you start typing the words Peppermint Gentleman, it's going to be fine. You'll find me.
Search my friends list. There you go. You can find our producer Liz at WHI Podcast Liz on Twitter. And maybe we'll be seeing more of her in the new year.
Landing on it.
Mysterious.
Gotta tell Jose he's wrong.
And sidekick.
And Keith. They're wrong.
You can find my sidekick and co-host Josue at Josue Reads Josue on Twitter. Josue Plays Josue on Twitch. And, of course, you can find our other show, Jukebox Vertigo, at Jukebox Vertigo on Twitter. You can find me at WHI Podcast Keith. You can find our show at WHI Podcast, both of those on Twitter. Thank you so much for being with us throughout 2021. We cannot wait to talk about everything literary with you in 2022. And don't forget to geek out.